Hey, you're listening to the Creative Pep Talk Podcast. This show is about commercial art, making a good living and making great art. Let's try it. We got to figure this out, man. It's a difficult tightrope to walk. Let's try to figure it out together. I'm your host, Andy J. Pizza, Big Papa Pizza in the house, y'all. You can check me out online. If you type in andyj.pizza, you'll find my illustration work. Seriously, type that into your browser. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter to stay abreast to all of my ongoings at andyjpizza. Thanks to our syndicate, Illustration Age. You can find this show at illustrationage.com/creativepeptalk. Let's jump into the show. This episode is sponsored by AstroPad. Thanks, AstroPad. You guys are awesome. AstroPad is an app that turns your iPad into a professional graphics tablet for your Mac. It works with any Mac app, so you can use creative tools like Photoshop and Illustrator right on your iPad. Check out astropad.com to learn more. This episode is also brought to you by Scout Books. Scout Books are fully customizable notebooks that you can use to make an incredible impression on your customers and clients. Whether you're ready to design your own or just looking to fill your pockets with a beautiful notebook, Scout Books has got you covered. Made in the heart of Portland, Oregon, Scout Books are known for durable 100% recycled papers, colorful inks, and fast and easy online ordering at scoutbooks.com. Just for Creative Pep Talk listeners, you guys, the pepperonis, Scout Books is offering 15% off any order, including your own custom designs. Go get fancy with it, man. They'll even throw in free notebook sample pack to fill with your dreams, doodles, and designs. Visit scoutbooks.com/creativepeptalk. Thank you, Scout Books. You guys are phenomenal. Ready to podcast, y'all. I am. I'm ready to jump into today's episode. Oh my goodness. I am pumped out of my mind about this episode. This is something that is on my heart, on my mind all the time. I can't stop thinking about it. I finally realized that, you know, one thing that happens is that I'll have this thing going on internally. And it'll take me forever to realize, oh, that's a podcast episode. And so today I finally realized that this reoccurring thought is an episode of the podcast that I needed to record. And here it is. Here's the title. Why is your marketing not working? And I'll tell you what, it's not because you need better titles for your podcast. That's that is not why your portfolio isn't working. Your marketing isn't working. Your career isn't going the way that you want it to. Here's essentially what I want to say. I want to say that your mom was right. Your mom had the secret to your marketing success from day one, and you never knew it. Why didn't you listen to your mom? She was a good mom. Maybe she was. I don't know. I don't know what your mom was like. But I'm guessing someone told you, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And that's what I want to talk about in today's episode. When it comes to marketing, it's not just that you said it. It's not that you just sent out emails and you blasted it all over Twitter and, you know, you told a billion people. It's not just what you said. It's how did you say it? How did you position yourself? Because marketing isn't just about the direct component. It's not just going out there and shouting from the mountaintops that you have new work on your website or you have a new album. It's not that simple. It's not just what you say. It goes deeper than that. It goes into how you positioned yourself before you even started making the music. And marketing is a much deeper practice than shouting from the mountaintops. And this is what, this is the essential thing on my heart today, is that I am really deeply passionate and interested in the idea of marketing. It's something that I take extremely seriously, and I get really, really aggravated when people equate marketing with advertising. They equate it with that cold call email that you send. And this is the reason that I think marketing gets such a bad name, and why artists ignore marketing, is that they think that marketing is that last component in the process, when really marketing starts before you ever make art, before you ever make anything. Because it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. So imagine you're going camping, okay? And you're ready to go out there into the wilderness. Well, maybe not the wilderness, a campsite. You're ready to go into a campsite. That's kind of me. Like, I, you know, when I think about going into the wilderness, it makes me very nervous. I don't like the idea of ticks and, you know, bugs and all this. I don't know. You know, I need a trail. I need a nice campsite with electric hookup at the very least, if not just a cabin with a nice hot tub. Okay, maybe you're not ready to go, you know, on a new trail, but you're ready to camp. You feel ready to camp. So you've got your pack on your bag. You're walking through the campsite. And as you're walking through, you're watching these people prepare for the night, and they're building their fires and they're throwing their matches on, and it's just exploding with these giant bonfires, these impressive, blazing, beautiful, I couldn't think of another B word, but they were brilliant, brilliant, beautiful, blazing bonfires. I love alliteration. And they're just explosive and they look amazing. And you're like, man, I can't wait to get my hands on some logs and flick the match on and just, yeah, I can't wait to get my bonfire on. You know what I'm saying? And they're just, you know, it just looks amazing. So you go set up camp and you go out into the woods and you cut down a tree and you're hacking away, getting these perfect looking logs. Like, they look exactly like they do in the movies. They look like cartoon logs. They're so beautiful. And you get them all the right size and the right teepee formation, and you light the match. It's the moment of truth, time to explode with the beautiful bonfire brilliance. And you throw the match onto the logs, and nothing happens. It fizzles out. And you look around the campsite and you're like, okay, I got the teepee thing going. Like, I got these beautiful logs and I'm seeing, okay, I look around and these people are throwing the match on and poof, explosive, amazing bonfire. What am I doing wrong? What's going on? From what I can see, this should be working. And this is how I think we look at other creative people's marketing. Because we look at the surface level. We look at what we can see. They have this brilliant artwork. They put it in a portfolio. And we just assume that, you know, that tweet that they sent out mid-afternoon that says, got new work on my site, that's how they get all these amazing jobs. Because we think that's marketing. We're not looking below the surface. We're not seeing what's going on underneath the logs. The logs are the pieces in your portfolio, the songs on your album. The match is the tweet, the mid-afternoon tweet that says, yo, I got a little bit of marketing. By the way, I got new stuff. At best, the matches that you're using are cold call emails to the people that you want to work with. So you get your portfolio, you work on your art, you labor away on these logs. You make them beautiful, right? Shiny logs. You position them just so. You work on your website. You put them together in this formation that just looks pristine. And then you set the match on fire. You go send the tweet. You send out 200 emails to all the potential buyers, and you wait back and wait for that explosive art career. You wait for that explosive bonfire moment like you've seen with other folks. But the problem is the match just fizzles out. Nothing happens. Nobody returns your emails. Nobody retweets your tweet. And this is what I think we think marketing is. And so today on the show, I want to dive deeper into what is marketing? Where does it start? Because it's not just about what you say, it's also about how you say it. So here's what you didn't realize. You didn't realize that even before these people cut down their logs, even before they started making that artwork, even before they lit the fuse for that explosive bonfire moment, they were gathering kindling. Number one. Gather your kindling. Under those logs, the reason they got traction, the reason they got purchase in this bonfire building was because underneath those logs was a whole pile of leaves, twigs, you know, little sticks, a whole giant pile. They spent all the time and energy gathering all the necessary kindling. And so the first part of marketing that you cannot ignore is the gathering, the market research. You need to know two things. You need to know, one, what's the value that you need to provide in your market to be considered? What do you need to be able to accomplish in the genre, the market that you're a part of, where you fit in into the creative professional world? What is the value that those people are looking for? And then the second thing you need to know is, what's your unique value? So you need to know the general value that they're looking for. If you're a comedian, that looks like you need to get laughs. You need to get laughs. Can you imagine a comedian that didn't know the value of comedy? They didn't know what they're supposed to be doing up there on stage. What are they looking for? Can you imagine how terrible that comedian would be? But so many creative people have no idea what response they're trying to get. So many creative people don't know what is the purpose of the work they're doing. Why would somebody hire them? So you need to know, what is the general value that I'm trying to provide in the market that I'm a part of, as an editorial illustrator, as a country singer? Why do people listen to country? What are they looking for? Having a deep understanding of what that is. And then on the second layer, if you really want to kick booties, what you got to do is you've got to provide unique value. It's not enough to just get up there and make people laugh with dumb jokes. You got to be memorable. You got to position yourself in a way that's memorable. If you want to be a standout comic, you can't just tell dumb jokes. You got to get up there and you got to have a unique point of view. The difference between Jim Gaffigan and Louis C.K. and Amy Schumer, they're all very, very different flavors of the same market value of making people laugh. They all have their own unique selling point. Because, and here's the thing, can you imagine being a door-to-door salesman and you don't know the value of your product? You're selling window cleaner, knock on the door, hey, I got some window cleaner, why should I buy that from you? I don't know, I have no idea. So you knocked on the door, you sent the email, but you're not making a case. You didn't position your work in the proper way to prove the kind of value that you need to prove to these people. So that when they go to your website, when they listen to your work, that they clearly see that you're able to give what they're looking for. Because it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. And this is why it's marketing. That's why understanding the value of what you do, both in the market way and then in your own unique way. That's why this isn't just about the type of work that you're making. Marketing's not just telling people. It goes deep into the actual creation of the work. Because if you don't know that you're supposed to get laughs when you get up on stage, you're not going to write the right types of jokes. And that's why this is marketing, because it's not just what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. And so there's two questions you have to ask yourself. You have to ask yourself, one, what's the value that this service is supposed to provide in my market? What these bosses, these potential bosses, these people that might hire me, what did they need to accomplish? Even on the level of like, what's going to get them to deliver the value to their bosses? And I mean, get specific. I mean, what do they want to do with your design, with your illustration, with your music, with your directing? What are they trying to accomplish? Okay, they're probably trying to accomplish selling, making money. That's probably one of the things. How do they do that? What are they hiring you for? Well, they might be hiring you to, at first and foremost, just gain attention. So how do you bake that into work? How do you make sure that your work is attention grabbing? Your unique type of work might be to feel something. That's a particular type of business value, to feel something. Get more specific than that, not just feeling something. Crying, laughing, hopeful, nostalgic. What are the things, what value are they looking for this particular publication, the type of work that you want to be doing, the type of work you want to get hired for? And then on a deeper level, ask yourself, okay, they could hire 3 million different people that could provide that general market value. Why are they going to hire me? And have a good understanding of, this is the unique flavor. Like, it's not just comedy, it's self-deprecating comedy. It's not just comedy, it's comedy about eating food. Having a unique selling point, it's your USP. Big shout out to our sponsors. Thank you, AstroPad, for sponsoring the podcast. I actually made the image to promote this episode using AstroPad. I use the Apple Pencil on my iPad, draw right onto the screen, and it's showing up in Photoshop, and it looks beautiful, works like a charm. It's a great solution to drawing digitally. So go check it out at astropad.com. Also, big thanks, big shout out to Scout Books for sponsoring this episode. Thank you, Scout Books. Scout Books make beautiful little notebooks. And you know what? Notebooks are cool things to sell if you're an artist. So if you want to make your own custom little notebooks to sell on your website, Scout Books has got you covered. Go check them out. They make beautiful notebooks. Do something cool. Don't just make another poster. Make a Scout Book. Thanks, Scout Books. Go get 15% off at scoutbooks.com/creativepeptalk. Okay, you gathered the kindling. You spent extra time trying to find the right type of dry little twigs and leaves and pine cones. Pine cone, a good kind of kindling? I don't know. I'm not really that much of a camper, but it seems like if you had dry pine cones, they would work. But you did it. You did the market research. The second thing that you're going to do. The second thing you need to do that you didn't realize was happening with the campsite over, with the explosive bonfire moment, you didn't realize that that person had spent the afternoon soaking the logs in lighter fluid. Soaking the logs in lighter fluid. And what does that mean? It means take that research that you did about value. And when I say value, let me just pause real quick and say, when I say value, I get a feeling that some people just, their eyes glaze over value. It's lost its meaning. Value has lost its value in our culture. I'm not using that word lightly. I'm saying it for a very specific reason. I mean that really, what's the value of the thing that you're doing? Like, what is its purpose? Business is 150% about value. They're trading you money for some kind of value, and you better know exactly what that value is. So you spend all the time figuring it out. That was step one. Step two is create a body of work, your logs, that are soaked in the right type of value. It's incredibly important that you spell it out in your work. What is the value of your work? You can create a project. A project can be a series of logs that are soaked in the particular value. Maybe you're a musician, you want to get hired to score a film. Well, write a whole album, not just, you know, 30 seconds of a song that you think, you know what, that'd make good music for a film. Maybe someone will notice that and give me a job. No, write an entire album that's perfect for a movie. I think the M83 album, Hurry Up, We're Dreaming, that's what it seems like to me, that album was. It was like, here's an album that sounds like a movie. It's just, it's like a movie that wasn't made. And then he goes on to do a bunch of scores, I believe. You know, I keep seeing this over and over and over. These creative folks who prove their unique value, their market value, by themselves before anybody asks them to, in a very particular way, over and over and over, until they're known for that thing, and then they get hired for that thing. I just watched the movie Moana, the new Disney movie. Really liked it. Didn't get to see the end because I've got a one-year-old who couldn't sit still. Dang it. I was grumpy dad. But in that movie, you've got Jemaine Clement. I'm a massive fan of Jemaine. He's from Flight of the Conchords. And he plays this crab, this giant crab, that's a bad guy, that sings a silly song. I'm fairly certain that he helped write. And it just occurred to me, here it is again. He did the same thing in the movie Rio. He was a bad guy with silly songs. And the reason he's hired to be the comedian, the funny, like, bad guy, is because that's the role that he played in the show that he wrote, Flight of the Conchords. And he proved himself every episode by being the silly, goofball, weirdo that writes funny songs. And then you can just hire him from that portfolio of two seasons of doing that. And you see this over and over and over again. So if your marketing doesn't just start with what you're saying, it's going to start with how you're saying it. How do you go about positioning yourself? Positioning yourself to be seen and to prove the value that they're looking for, because it's not just about practicing, it's about the right kind of practice. You've heard this before, right? You've heard about this idea, the 10,000 hours. I'm sure you've heard of that. Popularized by Malcolm Gladwell, this idea that a master, to be fantastic in a field, you need to have 10,000 hours of practice under your belt. And people miss out one of the most important things. I've heard it pointed out several times, that it's not just practice, it's the right type of practice. Because you can go out to a basketball court and work for 10,000 hours doing behind your head shots, over the backboard shots, spinning a ball on your finger, whatever. Is there a word for that? I don't know. I never know the terms for the sports stuff, but you could be doing all that. Now, if you're trying to get to the NBA, none of those 10,000 hours are actually going to help you. Maybe you could be a Harlem Globetrotter. I don't know if that exists anymore, but those people seem to do the fancy things. But if you're trying to go to the NBA, you need to know the type of value that you need to be practicing and soaking your logs in. Soaking your logs. Sounds like a weird thing. Because you can't wait for a fairy godmother to come along to Jermaine before Flight of the Conchords and say, hey, you know, you might be good at writing silly songs for cartoons. You might be good as the villain in a movie writing silly songs. Like a director to come along, an art director, a director of a film, whatever, a boss to come along and to see potential in you that you don't see in yourself, that you haven't proved yourself, is like one in a billion chance. Don't wait for your fairy godmother moment. Don't wait for somebody else to do the hard work of figuring out how to use you, and don't wait for someone to guess that you're good at it. Prove it to them. Bash it over their head. Make a billion pieces of work with this particular value. Show them, prove that you can do what it is they're looking for. Early days in my career, when I started to think more about marketing, when I started to think about marketing strategy and positioning my work in the right way, started listening to podcasts, and I remember before I really knew whether this marketing, this indirect marketing, not just the what, not just the sending out the emails, that always felt productive, but the how, really thinking about how am I going to position myself? How am I doing this work? You know, really allowing strategy to permeate through everything I was doing. Before I knew if it was working, I would spend a lot of time second guessing. And all that time second guessing was time not spent investing in these areas. And I remember sitting there in front of my dad. We'd go out to pizza like once a week. I'd go out for a slice of pizza for lunch. And I would just look to him to pep me up. Like all of this stuff that I'm doing. Here's my ideas. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm trying to do. This is the project that I'm trying to prepare to prove my value. This is the value that I think I need to bring. I remember feeling passionate, but I was really looking at him to affirm that any of this mattered. And he did that. And he really, you know, I would go into that second guessing, disillusioned, and I would leave feeling super empowered. Like, yeah, you're doing the right things. You're asking the right questions. Keep going, because this part of the process doesn't look glorious. It sometimes feels a bit shameful initially. You know, cutting down logs, like cutting down trees, swinging that axe like your BA, like, man, that looks amazing. You look like a lumberjack, right? Painting beautiful, glorious paintings. So glorious. Listening to marketing podcasts, not as glorious. Feels kind of shameful. Walking through the woods, gathering kindling, you feel like a little silly kid gathering these little sticks and pine cones and acorn tops. Those could be kindling, right? it feels a bit silly. It's not as glorious. And when you're doing that initial work, when you're doing that indirect marketing, the stuff that starts early, it doesn't always feel productive. It doesn't always feel glorious, glamorous. I want a third G word, but I couldn't do it again. Anyway, you feel silly starting out doing this, and you got the guy next to you probably, and he's got a stack of the most beautifully cut logs and a stack over his head, and he looks at you and he says, "Oh my gosh, would you knock it off with the kindling? And you're going to use lighter fluid? Oh my gosh, don't use lighter fluid. A real man doesn't use lighter fluid. You call yourself a lumberjack? Lumberjacks cut wood. Artists make art. Quit worrying about how you position your portfolio. You look like an idiot. Quit listening to the Creative Pep Talk podcast. Artists don't succeed by listening to podcasts. Do you think that's really helping you? But when that lumberjack with that beautifully, this beautifully curated, beautifully architect, is that... Is that a word? I don't know. Architect? I don't know. Constructed teepee of the most beautiful logs in the world. When he goes to light that fuse, that match is going to bounce off the logs and fizzle out. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Let me be your art dad. Let me take you to pizza. Come to pizza with Dr. Pizza right now in this moment. I'm talking about metaphorical pizza. Let the podcast be, let this podcast be our pizza. Let me look across the table and say, all of this time you're spending listening to the podcast, thinking about your work, all that marketing that doesn't feel like you're sure it's going to be productive. It doesn't feel as meaningful as cutting logs and lighting matches. But I want you to stop for a minute. Stop cutting more logs. You can cut billions and billions of logs. It's not going to make a fire. It's not going to make a better fire. You can get better and better at cutting them more swiftly, more beautifully. That's not going to be the deal breaker. You do need to cut logs. You do need to make artwork. You need to make those pieces of work. But it's not just about what you're saying. It's also about how you're saying it. And I know for a fact that there are hundreds of thousands of people across the country that are more talented at cutting logs than me. But they're not positioning them in the right way. They've got the what, they're amazing at drawing, but they're not proving the right types of value to get work. Stop arranging your teepee. You've cut all these logs out and you're arranging your website in 50 different ways. You're like, oh, what kind of nav bar do I need? Do I need to have different categories for each type of work? Do I need to, what platform do I need to be on? Like, quit arranging your log TP. Quit wasting matches. They talk about this all the time. Quality is better than quantity in terms of matches. You can send out 4,000 cold call emails. You can waste thousands and thousands of matches. You can light a whole box of matches and throw it onto your fire, but without kindling, without knowing the exact type of value, without targeting the right types of people for your unique selling point, those logs are not going to set on fire. Your bonfire is not going to blaze. It's better to have a targeted effort of the exact type of value, the exact type of clients, the exact bosses you want to work for, and what value you're going to bring, than to just go shotgun method and just try to hit everything and try to just do it all. Quit wasting matches. So let me be your art dad today and say, all this time you're spending doing the inner work, trying to figure out how you want to say what you want to say, it's going to feel silly when you're gathering that kindling. It's going to feel pointless. And I just want to say to you today, keep going. Keep at it. Keep working. Marketing matters. And it means more than advertising. I know that this deep work, this strategizing, this thinking, this research, I know before you ever see it pay off, it can feel ridiculous. Those people making, just focused on making amazing art, are often going to look at you like you're an idiot. But listen to old Big Papa Pizza, the art dad, who looks across the table and says, you're doing it. You're doing it. It's gonna count. It's gonna work. Invest. Figure out how to say what you're trying to say. Spend as much time on that as you do on what. And I can tell you, it's going to pay off. Keep going. Keep going. Another one in the bag, y'all. That's another one in the bag. Don't forget, if you want to follow me online, get updates, keep up to what's going on in my world, you can find me at Andy J Pizza on Twitter and Instagram. You can find my work at andyj.pizza online. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing the podcast. You know, I see you guys sharing the podcast out there. If you got a following, if you've got friends that you think would benefit, would you do me a favor and just share this with your groups, your friends, with your social media following, all those people? If you think that there are people that will benefit from hearing this thing, I encourage you to go shout it out. Thanks for that. I really appreciate it. Thanks to our syndicate, Illustration Age. You can find the show at illustrationage.com/creativepeptalk. Thanks to Yoni Wolf, my main man Yoni Wolf, and the band Y for our theme music. Thanks to Nate Utesh and the band Metavari for all the other tunes. You can find their stuff at soundcloud.com/Metavari. Great, great stuff. Thank you to everybody else. Guys, come on. Come on. Let's stay pepped up. If you got to go back and listen through every episode, if you got to jump up and down, if you got to wake up at 5 a.m., if you got to do whatever you got to do, just do it. Do the things you got to do to stay pepped up.